We'll do the tithing at the end. We'll do that at the end. That'd be good. God is good, man. He's so good. He's so good. This morning we're going to begin a new series entitled Follow Me. And what we're going to be confronted with throughout this series is a collision of our will with God's will. And what it means to follow. What it means to follow Him. What it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And what does it mean to make disciples. It's a series on discipleship. It's about responding to the call and the invitation that God and that Jesus makes to each and every one of us. This morning we exercised what it means to follow Christ. And I was thinking a little bit about it as we were praying. And you know, I don't know about you, but there are times when I don't want to say that my heart's calloused, but my heart sometimes isn't as compassionate as it could be. Or, you know, does anybody else, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, and because it's not directly affecting me. These offenses are not directly affecting me. And that was just a complete heart check as we were praying this morning as to where's my heart? How close is my heart to your heart right now, Lord? How close am I following you right now? And that's essentially what this entire series and this morning's message is going to do. It's going to be an invasive collision of God's will and our will. These words, follow me, they echo throughout Scripture. They echo throughout the New Testament of God's call to you and I, the call of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think maybe one of the challenges that we face and that we struggle with is discerning the difference from being a Christian and what does it mean to follow Christ. Because there is a difference. I mean, ideally, they are synonymous. Ideally, they are one and the same. But in practice, we discover that it is much more easy to be a Christian than to follow Christ. You see, because to follow Christ costs us nothing, does it? I mean, to believe in Jesus costs us nothing. To believe in Jesus Christ, that God has sent Him to this earth for our sins, and for you to believe, it costs you nothing. But to follow Him costs everything. It costs you everything. And so what we're going to see over these next few weeks is Jesus' call to you and I and His desire for you and I to choose to follow Him, to desire to follow Him. And we're going to see that He doesn't force it. He doesn't coerce it, but He gives us a glimpse of how great it will be if we do follow Him, what it will be like. And He promises us that the reward will far outweigh the cost. The reward of following Jesus will far, far outweigh the cost. So if you want to turn with your Bibles, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. We're going to look, this is where we're going to be at, Mark chapter 8. Verses 34 and 35, you know, Martin Luther once said that the Word of God is like a surgeon's scalpel, and I think what he meant by that is that when we're confronted with the Word of God, as in the kind of text that we're going to be reading this morning, and when we're confronted with the heart of God, it cuts us deep sometimes, and it opens us up, and it exposes us, like on a surgery table, right? But the beautiful truth about this is that even though the surgeon opens us up and the scalpel opens us up and exposes us, the surgeon doesn't leave us on the table open and exposed, open to infection. But what the surgeon does is that he puts us back together by His grace and His love. He puts us back together better than we were before. And not only that, that He walks us through and He provides us with everything we need to recover. And so this morning's message is going to be a little bit of heart surgery for all of us. And this whole series is going to be a little bit of surgery on all of us. And so I want you to get ready and remember that if you receive it, it will be of everlasting benefit to you. Everlasting benefit to you. So here we are in the Gospel of Mark. And one of the things I love about the Gospel of Mark is that he just puts it the way it is. He just lays it out there plain as can be. And there's not too many details that surround it. It's just, this is the gospel, and this is the way it is. And so that's kind of where we're at in Mark chapter 8, in verses 34 and 35. It says, then Jesus called the crowd to Him, along with His disciples. And he said this, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, "It costs how much?" Now, let me hear that inflection in your voice. It costs how much? This passage of Scripture is no other way of saying it. I've said it, it's an invasion, it's a collision with our will and God's will. And we're confronted with the realization of how much it's going to cost us to follow Jesus. What is this really going to entail? What is this going to all be about? What is the price tag it costs to following Jesus? And we learn in Luke and other places in the gospel that Jesus wants us to consider the cost before following him. Consider what it's going to cost you before you follow him. Following Jesus comes at a hefty price. He says, if anyone desires me, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Three costly actions. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow him. Well, how much exactly is that? What is the price tag on this thing? How much exactly does it cost to follow Jesus? That word deny there is a strong word here. And it means to disown yourself. It means to abstain from yourself. It means to renounce yourself, reject yourself. What? Most accurately, this word deny, when Jesus is saying you must deny yourself, he's saying give up all rights of ownership to yourself. Give up all rights of ownership to yourself. Leave nothing for yourself and give it all to me. To deny yourself, it means to put aside our own selfish desires in order to follow Christ and to serve his purposes. Say, God, your purposes are now my purposes. I want to go this way. I wanted to go this way, but God, you have just infected my life with your beautiful mercy and grace and forgiveness and love. Now I'm following you. Now everything I have is yours and I offer it to you. To deny yourself, to reject your will, to reject the desires and the passions and the pleasures of what you want in life. And say, God, is no longer is it about what I want in life. It all is about what you want for my life and the purposes for my life, your purposes for my life. And he goes on and he says to take up your cross, which means to kind of expose yourself to reproach, expose yourself to death, to insult, to abuse, to persecution, to lay yourself out there and identify yourself with Christ. I belong with Christ and I don't care who knows it. Billy Graham once said that when Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross, he said it means to bring your electric chair with you, or to take up your gas chamber and follow Christ. You see, Jesus did not have a beautiful gold cross in mind, but this cross was a place of execution, a place of dying to your will for the will of the God, will of your King, of your Father. A place where you give yourself up completely for him. And so a person who takes up their cost, who makes this payment, is someone who is making a deliberate choice to deny their own selfish interests and a way of life, to boldly identify with Christ in everything. It's not glamorous, it's not easy. It's a way of suffering, isn't it? Giving up your freedom for his sake. And we see here like this line is drawn in the sand between living for you and living for him. It's like, here's this line in the sand. You can believe in me, it costs nothing. But if you want to live for me, it costs everything. If you want to be identified as one of my own, it's going to cost you everything. And so it involves making these difficult choices in life, of giving things up, and basing those decisions on the truth of the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we see Paul, and he's in kind of in this argument against those who are persisting that this Christian freedom, well, gives us the ability and allows us to do whatever we feel like doing. And they thought that they had the right to do whatever that they wished. They were excusing their sins. They were excusing these things that were not honoring God by saying that Christ had taken away all sin. And so that they felt as though that they had complete freedom to live as they pleased. And Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And he says, he repeats them and he says, "You say that you have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. You say that you have the right to do anything, but I am not going to be mastered by anything," he says. In other words, he's saying, just because I'm allowed to do something, just because it's okay and is legal to do something, does not mean that it's okay for me to do it. When I choose to follow Christ, I choose to follow the way, the truth, and the life. I choose to follow His ways. I choose to follow a way that honors God in everything I do, in my thoughts and my actions. These things that the people were doing, they weren't things that were strictly forbidden by Scripture. But there were things that were not appropriate. There were things that were not edifying to them. There were things that were not beneficial because there were things that were taking control of their lives. And they became mastered by these things, and it prevented them from fully following Christ. Just because something is technically legal or it's you're allowed to do it does not mean that it's spiritually appropriate or spiritually edifying. And he was saying that if we go around doing whatever we thought we could get by with, then we would become a slave to our whims. A slave to our whims. I remember when when I surrendered my life to the Lord in college, early on, I can remember very clearly, clear as day, the Lord speaking to my heart. It was one of those moments when I know that I know that I know that I heard God. And what I was doing is that there was things from before Christ that I enjoyed doing and that I held on to, and I even advocated why this is okay to do it. And I didn't see any problem with it. And I was taking it to the Lord genuinely, and I was like, "God, genuinely, here's my heart for this, you know? This is how I feel about this." And I remember clear as anything, the Word of God, what He said to me is this: "If you hold on to this, then you're going to miss out on all that I have for you. If you hold on to this thing that stands in the way, then you're going to miss out on all that I have for you." And so I was challenged so real in that moment that if I didn't put these things away, if I didn't put this away and that away, if I didn't deny myself this pleasure, or if I chose for this to remain in my life, then I would be choosing me instead of choosing Christ. And I knew that I was at a crossroads right there. And I knew that I promised God, I said, "Lord, if you rescue me from this place that I'm at, I will be all in. I will give you all of me. I will give you 100% of me. I won't be lukewarm. I'll be all in." And I had to remember that I said that to Him. And I had to choose in this moment to go one of two ways: to choose me or to choose Christ. To choose me or to choose Christ. And so we have this heart defining call of Jesus Christ to follow Him. And these words just echo throughout the pages of the New Testament. And it's a call to live a holy life. It's a call to follow Him and to walk in His ways, to live as He lives, to treat people the way He treats people. And He really sets the standard of how to live. He sets the standard of how to live. Our world does not set the standard of how to live. And so I want to appeal to you this morning, if you're here this morning, and if there's anything in your life that you desire, that you just like to hold on for yourself, and, you know, this kind of just brings me a little bit of pleasure here. But if you honestly looked at it, you said, "Well, does this honor God? Does this honor Him?" Let it go today. Today is the day to let it go. Just let it go. If it's something that you watch, something that you let your eyes gaze upon, that you know, if Jesus, if He was sitting right next to me, if Jesus was sitting right next to me, would He want to watch this with me? What you put in your body, what habits that are harmful to you and to others, are they honoring to God? Are you treating your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit where He dwells and He lives? Whether it's your need to be in control of your life and where you want to see your where things map out for you or the things that bring you self-satisfaction, things that take precedence over your worship of Jesus. If anything stands in the way, let it go today. Let it go. Are you prepared to pay the cost? Are you willing to reject yourself on a daily basis and every day choose Jesus? Are you willing to reject your desires and your passions, your own willful desires and passions, your own future plans? Are you willing to give up the rights of ownership to yourself for the sake of the gospel and for your King? These words, follow me, they beckon us. They call us. They draw us. And it's a crossroads. And what I find interesting about this word follow that is used here in Mark, it does not indicate that you're actually walking behind Jesus. There are other derivatives in the gospel of the word follow that means to follow behind someone or you to be in front of someone else, but not here. For here in this place where the Holy Spirit uses this derivative of the word follow, it means to accompany Him. It means to walk beside Him. It actually means to share the same road as Jesus. To follow on the same path, to walk together beside Him. It means to get caught up in what He's doing. It means to get close to what He's doing. To enter into the world and to the journey of the one that you're walking with. These are all definitions of this word. And it doesn't mean to be out in front of Him. It does not mean to be necessarily behind Him. But He calls us to walk with Him, close beside Him. Get caught up in what I'm doing. And that's why what we just exercised right before we got into the Word is we're walking beside Christ. We're being a part of His business. We're getting caught up in the business of Jesus Christ. We're getting caught up in the business of His kingdom. And this is what we've been called to do as we follow Him. Get caught up in the business of Jesus Christ. And so when we understand this meaning of this word, it sheds a little bit of light on something very important for all of us. And that is this. You cannot follow Jesus from a distance. You cannot follow Jesus at a distance. Why? Because you will lose your way. The things of this world will distract you from following Jesus. They grab your attention. They appeal to your human nature. They appeal to your will. They appeal to your desire for self-satisfaction. And before you know it, you're way behind Jesus. And you lose sight of where to go. Last Sunday, we took our family to, Liz and I took our kids to the movie theater. And we were going to have one last hurrah before, you know, the start of the school year. And so we're in the movie theater, and you just picture the movie theater for me. You get in, and you know, you got all the video games all around, and then you have those hallways that have doors just going off in each direction, right? And there's people everywhere, right? And so we get in there, and we're like, guys, stay close to us. It's very important to stay close to us so you know where to go. Let's stay together, da-da-da-da-da, right? And so we head a few minutes, and we start heading to our, you know, the theater, the room that you're supposed to be in. I don't remember which one it was, but we go in the door, and there's my beautiful middle child, Madeline, and she's distracted, and she goes, beelines it for one of these video games, the one where you sit in the chair and you're driving, right, and she's just going, and she doesn't even care two hoots about where we're going. It's all about what she's distracted by, and she goes off, and she starts playing on this video game, and she's in it, you know, and she's has no money. She's just, you know, playing the demo. And all of us go inside. And I was like, all right, this is going to be a teaching moment. Because this happens quite often. So this is going to be a teaching moment. So we all go into the theater. And then they all go and sit down. And Madeline doesn't even know where we went. And she has no clue that we even went off anywhere. And so I left the door of the the um, the the place. The doors were shut, but I left it open just a little bit. I put my foot there so I could just keep an eye on her to see how long this was going to be, right? And so she's just in her own little world driving. She's distracted. Everything. She's loving it. She's having a good time. And I'm just watching. Okay, all right, how long is this really going to take? And I'm just peeking through this little crease. And so all of a sudden, she's done with that distraction, and she looks around. She sees nobody. None of her family are there. And then she begins to get a little bit fearful. Like, where is everybody? And there's doors, you know, it's just like, pick a door. There's nine of them in front of you. Pick one. And I see her going. So she goes out of my sight. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to stand here, and I'm just going to keep my eyes up through this crease. I don't see her anymore. And she must have, I guess she tried every door, because it felt like 10 minutes. I was like, man, maybe I should go and find her, you know? She must have looked in every single theater. But when she came across this open path of what I had open, she was terrified. She was like, where is everybody? She had lost her way, and I opened her up, and I opened it up, and I said, okay, baby girl, this is why I asked you to stay close. This is why I asked you to stay. This is why we stay close to each other and stay, you know, so you know where to go. And it's just this a really good example, right, of what it means to follow close so you don't lose sight of what you're following and who you're following. To stay close to his heart. To stay close to him on the same road. To stay beside him, not behind him, where you're getting distracted by all the little glitz and glamours of life, but to stay close right next to him. You cannot follow Jesus from a distance because you will lose your way. You'll lose sight of who you're following. And you'll get distracted very easily. So these words, follow me, are these words that are about forsaking everything to following the one who has given you new life. Committing yourself to do whatever God wants to do with your life. To follow Christ is to stop taking control of your own life and your own destiny and let him guide and lead us in the direction that he wants us to go. It is an active participation of salvation in which we offer all of ourselves to him. All of ourselves to him. And say, God, wherever you lead, I will follow. I'm coming along. So that he may shape your heart and mold your heart and conform you into the image of himself, the image that he ordained from the very beginning. And that's why this morning as we're praying, it's an everyday choice, right? To share the same road as Christ, to get on the same road and to stay close to him. And that's why this morning was a heart check for me as we're praying. I'm like, man, how compassionate really am I about these people and what they're going through? Just because it's not happening to me. You know, it's this active participation where you offer all of yourself to him. All of yourself to him. Yeah, but Pastor, that seems like a really expensive road. There's got to be another route. I'll take any other route, you know. I can remember going, my buddy of mine lives in Staten Island, and I don't know if you've ever gone onto the island, but you got to pay $13 to drive on that road into that bridge, over that bridge. And it's just, you're just gobsmacked, and you're just like, this is way too expensive. There's got to be another route, but there is no other route. There's only one way onto that island and one way off of that island. It's a hefty cost. There is no other way. If you try to find another way, you're going to not end up where you're supposed to be. You're going to end up where you're not supposed to be. But if you do take the road and share the same road as Christ, if you choose to follow him, if you choose to deny yourself, if you choose to pay that cost of what it means of letting go of yourself, rejecting yourself, denying yourself the rights of ownership. I deserve to be able to make myself do that. I deserve to be able to feel good in this situation or that situation. But if that situation does not honor God, it needs to be checked. It needs to be checked. And God promises that the reward will far outweigh the cost. Jesus assures his disciples in Mark chapter 10, verse 30, if you want to go there as we're finishing up this morning, and then I'm going to hand it off to Pastor Phil. Jesus assures his disciples in chapter 10, verse 30, and he says this, 29, he says, I tell you the truth, no one has left home or brothers or sisters, nor family, nor father, nor children, nor fields for me in the gospel. Nobody who ever does that, who leaves all that stuff, will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Essentially, what this means is that God never requires anything of his followers that he does not replace with something infinitely greater. God does not require or ask anything of you that he does not intend to replace with something infinitely greater, beyond what your minds can comprehend, according to his promises. It shares sort of the same sentiments of Paul in Romans 8:18 when he says, "For I consider the present sufferings of this world, they're nothing. They're worth nothing comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to me." If you consider it suffering to give over things that you want to do and to give up and to deny things and reject yourself things, it's not even worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. So you see, when you follow Christ, you lose yourself. You lose yourself. But that loss is restored abundantly. When you follow Christ, you lose yourself, but that loss is rewarded eternity. It may cost a lot to follow Jesus, but the return on the value is immeasurable. It may cost all of you, but in return, you get all of him. It may cost you your rights to yourself, but in return, you're given all the rights and the privileges as a child of the King. And so as we close this morning, if you find yourself following Jesus from a distance, run and close that gap today. Close that gap today. Follow him closely. Do not lose sight of him. And the promise is that he will enable us to navigate this difficult life and prevent us from drifting off course. And that's good, because he's the only one that knows the way. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your words to us. We thank you for this incredible invitation to follow you and to get caught up in what you're doing and to be a part of your kingdom purposes on this earth, Lord. God, there's often a temptation to step off this road and to follow ourselves and our own desires. And Lord God, I pray for every person in this place right now, if they're standing in that place and that temptation, Lord God, to step off the road, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just gently convict them, strongly convict them, Lord God, that you are the only way, the only truth in the life, and that you are the only one that knows the way to go. Father, I pray that you would give us the strength, the ability, the desire to want to choose you. The desire to choose you every day rather than choose us, to follow you rather than to follow us, Lord God. Because we know that this life that you've called us to and this amazing invitation is so much far beyond what we can even glimpse with our eyes and our minds. But Lord, in faith, we believe that what's up ahead and the glory to be revealed makes it all worth it, Lord. And so Lord, today we choose to align our hearts, our minds, our wills with your heart, your mind, and your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Pastor Phil.